Todd and Logan are friends who met on the internet. And Logan and Tyler are also friends who met on the internet. Yeah, Tyler and Bart are buddies too. And now it's the three of them and you.
Lots of danger at every corner. Fighting androids and lots of monsters.
More than a podcast. Well, I guess it's only a podcast. And now it's time for a podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to episode 45 of BLT Lunch Break. And again, we're all together. So
first time in like this studio, like where we actually cut the podcast most of the time.
Yeah, which I like. It's very intimate in here. Oh, hey, Amanda's here.
We have an audience again.
There's a whole group of people here.
Yeah, they just showed up.
All right. And so it's always right as we start the show. It's great. Episode 45 of BLT. Bart, welcome to Nashville.
Welcome back.
He's not paying attention. He's on his phone.
He's being like me. It was Ron Howard.
Yeah, before we started, Tyler, for Christmas, gave me a Han Solo Star Wars t-shirt, which is awesome. Solo, a Star Wars story.
I should have put it in a Solo cup.
Oh, they should sell them. See, this is where we should be marketing, and they're not. See, they didn't even know they were here. Our audience here. I texted, "Where are you?" Not here.
They weren't responding.
But we were discussing because, you know, obviously there's a lot of people debating this movie. Since we last spoke, there was a leaked image that then was confirmed not to be a leaked image, but I'm 100% believe that it's a real image. That is Disney just covering some tracks there because these photos just exist from nowhere that have never been seen before of these actors. I'm sorry, that's some sort of leaked thing, but.
Maybe it was like a test of like marketing to see.
I think it may have been an intentional leak.
Intentional leak.
So people are not like, because right now Star Wars not exactly getting the best publicity other than making $1 billion at the box office and somehow released for 2 weeks and was the number one movie in the year. But still not exactly. So get some positive buzz behind it. And universally, people seem to like that or get some different buzz going on. But we said, like you said, could Ron Howard make a bad movie? And then it's like, has Ron Howard made a movie that's not universally loved?
See, I haven't seen a lot of his recent stuff, like In the Heart of the Sea or Rush.
Yeah, and In the Heart of the Sea kind of disappeared.
Was Rush the racing movie?
Yeah, that bombed.
But see, everybody that I've heard that actually saw Rush
really
liked it.
Yeah, everyone I know in it's like Will's a big indie.
I didn't
racing
know he
fan,
did
he
the Dilemma.
It. I don't know any of these movies.
The Vince Vaughn and Kevin James. See, that didn't do well.
He's done a lot of bad movies.
I'm looking at this. Yeah,
We just think he's great.
Oh no, he's made some.
He's great. I'm a Ron Howard fan. I'll apologize for him.
Yeah, me too.
The last thing I saw was his Beatles documentary, which was sort of like you brought up the last night we were talking the Steven Spielberg documentary, and it's like if you're a hardcore Beatles fan and you watch that documentary, you're like, yeah, I know.
Yeah,
like it's all, yeah. None of this is new stuff. Has not come to light. This is just.
And with the Beatles, and I know you have it that. The anthology documentary that they did, what was that, 15 years ago?
It was more than that,
I met my wife. It's probably been 20 years.
It was in the late 90s.
You can't get anything better than that.
Yeah, 8-hour documentary that's really good.
Yeah.
Though, you know, a lot of that content is very disputed.
Really?
Because the Beatles themselves, at the time, three of them, no, they...
Well, I mean, Paul McCartney died, right?
No. Well, there's that part of that. Well, I think it's at the point, at least three of them allegedly were alive when they made this documentary. And when you hear them interview now, the stories have changed. And they're like, yeah, we don't really, I mean, we were kids. We don't remember what happened when we were 18. We're just trying to kind of piece it all together. So, you know, it's odd because some of those stories are like crystal clear. And then you hear Paul now and he's like, oh, well, it's good. My favorite moment of that whole thing is they're yelling.
That was more of a Ringo, wasn't it?
Yeah, they do like a 5-minute bit on the White Album, which is my favorite record from the Beatles. And they're like, don't you think it should have been, like they go through everybody talking about how it's too much content because it's a double album and there's some weird stuff on there. And they're like, George Martin's like, it should have been one. We should have cut it down. They're all talking and they get to Paul and he's just like, it's the bloody Beatles White Album. Shut up. like that's great. Like, just be like, you know what? You know, it's a universally popular record. Why are we crapping on ourselves?
That's true. If it wasn't so weird, maybe it wouldn't have been so successful. But,
And it was like the same thing when they had the Cirque du Soleil show, Love. They did a documentary on that, and it cut to Paul, and he was like, I watched this, and I was like, man, we're pretty effing good. You know, we're the Beatles. That's great.
You said had. Is that not running anymore?
No, they still have Love, yeah. The documentary's pretty good on the making of Love as well.
Go down the rabbit hole of Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque du Soleil. Cirque du Soleil coming back to Disney Springs immediately following. Did you watch the live stream of the final La Nuba?
No, I didn't know.
Have you ever watched La Nuba?
No.
No. Neither. No.
Never appeared.
I've been there my entire life. I've never seen it.
You know, I was really debating this last trip when going to see it because it was the last one. I felt like, well, I've missed this whole thing. And you could get fairly reasonably priced tickets, but they were all obstructed view. And I said, well, I'm not going to pay to see. You know, and plus I had my 11-year-old. And I asked my parents, who of course saw it, because they're old. Yeah. And I said, would he like it? And I'm like, my mom was like, oh, it's wonderful. My stepdad was like, listen, he's not going to like it.
Yeah.
Don't bother. I said, all right.
It was hard because I like Cirque and I've seen quite a few of the shows. But that one, for some reason, like the marketing, everything was just like, eh, this is not for me.
Yeah.
And Terry, who's on WDW Today with me, he went just a few months ago. Back in March, and he said
first time.
It was the first time. They did like a whole thing for his, he has a convention called The Thing, and they did like a behind the scenes tour for him. He said that part was really cool, but he said the actual show in the theater was just, and they were running things like it was still 1996. They need like a hard reboot. So he said they needed beyond just a new show.
It's 1996.
Something like, I mean, it's.
So it's literally been running almost my entire life.
It's been running, I think it's been running 20 been years. There. Yeah, I mean, it's. I can't imagine what it was.
It just feels like it's so far away. Is that, like, do you feel that? Like, when you're there? Yeah. Like, when you're there, I just feel like it's out of the way. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I'm never over there.
1998. December 23rd, 98. So almost to the date, it was, what is that, 19 years?
It was 19 years running.
Almost to the date.
And I missed it for 19 years. Yeah. I lived there, for goodness sake, and I didn't go.
I love the director was Franco Dragone.
Now, I haven't seen the Blue Man Group there either.
So. I love that guy.
I've seen them in Chicago. I've never seen them.
And I've seen them before in New York and here, and I love the Blue Man Group. But just when you're there, it's just one of those things I'm like, I don't know if I want to go drop $60. And this
that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Now, they do this Disney Cirque show, which is what's coming, a Disney-themed Cirque
animation-themed show. Animation-themed Cirque. Disney animation.
I'm all in.
Show. Yeah, of
I'll
course.
Go, I'll be there.
Because, absolutely.
Because that's what they did with the Beatles. They brought me in. When they did Love, the Beatles Cirque show, that's kind of the closest thing, other than maybe seeing Paul, that you kind of get to sing the Beatles in a weird way because the way they told the story. But so for that, that will draw me in. If it was like that from the beginning, and you say you're never over, when I was a local, I hung out on that area of downtown Disney a lot because it's where House of Blues is. It's where you'd go for like an event. But now the things are the Springs. I haven't been over there
you know,
in a couple of years.
I'm going to predict. I know here we've fallen down the hole being a Disney show.
Oh, who cares?
Podcast.
It's the new year.
I am predicting right now that NBA City or whatever they're calling it will be a major misstep, and it will be closed within a decade. And they're putting a lot of money into that.
Wasn't it over at Universal and it failed?
Didn't they just have it?
And like it was the worst place in all of City Walk.
Yeah. Like it's going to be the worst place at Disney Springs.
Yeah. One of the creepiest things ever when we were there back in October, or no, whenever it was, they had like ripped the facade off of
Disney Quest.
Disney Quest. Yeah. So it looked like a bombed out building.
Like a bomb, yeah.
So we drove past. I'm like, this is like, you never see this.
Yeah.
Put up a scrim here, guys. What are we doing? Right. We're terrifying children here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tim Tracker went around the back and was showing like the view. You could see like the murals on the wall inside, but it did look like a war zone.
We were there the day before and it still had the sign. And then like we drove up the next day. Like, oh, goodness.
Yeah. It's gone. There's nothing there now. Nothing. But walls.
And it definitely looks like weirdly, the renderings look like the NASCAR cafe that's now the NBC cafe in Universal. Oh, yeah. It's like the same way they've done the screens right in the ESPN zone.
Kind of look like the George Lucas Museum we almost got in Chicago, too.
And almost in San Francisco. And almost in...
Is it not... I thought it was going to San
Francisco. Now it's going to... Is it going to L.A. now? No. Where is it going? Is it L.A.? I think it's L.A. It was originally supposed to be at the Presidio. Then they...
They couldn't make
it. They couldn't because the Presidio decided to put in a exhibit on a clean energy. It's going to really bring in the...
That'll
tourism.
Just rake into it.
Yeah. If you don't know what we're talking about, George Lucas...
That sounds like a theme park based on technology and science. That'll never work.
George Lucas has an incredible art collection and all the Star Wars stuff, but he has an art collection of... He has more Andy Warhols than... Norman Rockwells than anyone on the planet. He owns more originals. Him and Spielberg on the most.
Okay, so that's what it was going to be. It wasn't just going to be like Star Wars.
No, it was going to be the entire narrative art. So, because that's where he's like, Rockwell was telling stories, so he's going to do that. And it was going to have your Star Wars and Indiana Jones.
Right.
And then how the future of technology was telling narrative art, narrative storytelling. So really cool.
That's pretty neat.
Would have fit perfect there in the Presidio next to the Walt Disney Birth or Family
Museum.
That's
what I was, yeah.
Would have been awesome. No, San Francisco said, no, no, thank you. We would rather put in the Clean Energy Museum that, no, I mean, barely people go to the Walt Disney one. Good Lord, if you had just put the George Lucas one there, at least you would have brought in some new people. Mm-hmm. And then they tried it in Chicago, and it failed
so
again.
I was so excited, and it was more...
It was going to replace a parking lot.
I'm going to say allegedly a lot, even though it's factual. Yeah. A lot more alleged corrupt Illinois-Chicago politics.
No, it seemed pretty darn.
There was a group that formed called the Friends of the Park that were only – they were caught, it was all these aldermen and local politicians, and they were trying to strike a deal where they would allow it, but only if a certain annual – honorarium was paid to these Friends of the Park, as which was like
because it was replacing
3%. It was replacing nothing. It was going to go like, in a field or
a legit like I think it was it technically was a public near public park, but was a parking lot by the water.
It was a place for homeless people to sleep,
right.
Basically.
And you know, again, what and then now I believe they've is it L.A.? I think it's L.A.
So maybe so angry because his wife is from Chicago, yeah. So that's why he thought, well, I like Chicago, and plus it would have been great for the city.
Yeah,
I heard it was coming to Nashville.
Well,
I'm yeah. kidding.
I mean, might as well. I've had this point. It's the last straw. I'm leaving Illinois. I just got to find something.
We'll work on it. I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying. I'm looking at Craigslist for you.
Thank you,
man.
I'm trying to sell some. Trying to move some copies of Ears of Steel on Amazon apparently or eBay here. But
I did see someone bought a recent copy of Ears of Steel. Did they buy that on eBay?
No. Well, there's two copies on eBay, but they're from Australia.
Oh, whoa.
They're roughly about $25 plus another $25 in shipping. And in good conscience, I can't tell you to spend $50.
You're like, I'll email you.
I mean, I'll say, I will. You know what? This guy, the person who tweeted me today, I might just email you the raw file. I don't care.
Sign up for his Patreon.
Yeah, there you go. Now you're talking.
See, I'm the salesman here.
Just sign up for just pledge $5 a month. I'll send you a copy. And I am working on a new one. I was working on it just the other day. So I'm going to try to get that out by summer. So if you can be patient, there'll be a new one out by summer, hopefully. I'm trying. There's a lot of things going on right now.
That was him knocking on wood.
If it doesn't work, it will be Tears of Steel.
Tears of Steel.
Right now, it's
Fears. I do.
And then, yeah, and then we're going to do a follow up on Halloween Horror Nights called Fears of Steel. That was Logan made that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm working on the franchise here. Look, this is how my brain works. Titles are my thing.
And if anybody wants to sponsor me to go on the cruise line, we'll do, you know, Ears of Steel.
Ears of
at sea. Ears
seas of
you know. Seas of steel.
I don't know.
Ears of seals. No, that doesn't work.
I wanted to do one called Ears of Steel Rising, where I did all the Japanese parks. But well, you know,
I wrote Ears of Steel. It's just about the film Steel.
The Steel,
starring Shaquille O'Neal.
Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, yeah. Not real steel. With
Ears,
E. Jack.
Ears of Shaquille Steel.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Real Steel.
Oh, I liked
How about
Real Steel.
A mashup movie of Real Steel and Steel. With Shaquille
I need to show
O'Neal.
Riker Real Steel.
How would you feel? Sam, I am. Anyway, we've gone off the rails here. Yeah.
Well, you know, it happens. We're all together. This is what happens.
What were we talking about?
We were talking
Cirque
about
Cirque du Soleil.
Cirque
du Museum.
Soleil. And the museum.
And then the Lucas Museum. That's right.
Which is going in Nashville in summer of 2019. I'm just starting the rumor.
I don't know if it'll ever open. Like, I feel like that's one of those things.
I'm surprised Cirque du Soleil hasn't done something with Lucas to do like a Star Wars. I mean, they did an Avatar show.
Yeah, that came. Did you go to that? One of my friends who's a hardcore Avatar fan went and loved it.
Some friends of mine went, actually, Ears to You, more Ears. Ears to You, the vloggers, went and saw it in Nashville here when it was here and said they loved it.
Yeah, that same here. My friend here in Nashville.
I didn't even know it came to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. I think it was very brief.
Turok Dinosaur Hunter.
It was in Chicago. It was only in Chicago for a couple nights.
Yeah, it was just at Bridgestone, like a touring Cirque. Now, touring Cirque, I have to say, this is going to make me sound just good. I've been to a decent amount of Cirque. I've seen some Cirque in my life. The touring Cirque.
Cirque file.
Like, it's kind of like Blue Man Group. When they had the theater in Chicago, probably the theater in Orlando or New York where I've seen the show, it's an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. When they do the tour and the theater isn't built for them.
You have to kind of slap it
it's
up.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah.
So Cirque is kind of like that too. You're like, there's just a dude in a leotard just kind of floating in midair for a good hour. You know, speaking in nondescript French Canadian and with an umbrella, like, you know, kind of walking in the sky. Amanda and I sat there last time it came years ago and just like, okay, this is not this.
There's a Cirque show back home.
Where's the Cannon Man?
And it's not even in Chicago. It's in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, at the Sears Center. It's a Cirque du Soleil show where the whole thing's on ice. So they're all wearing ice skates, and they're doing flipping off ramps. And I don't know.
Is it there permanently?
No, it's a traveling show.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We talked about going to, just because I'm like, I got to see what they can do on ice, but it's, the tickets were.
So they got the water one in Vegas.
A little too expensive for a goof.
So, news, fellas, talking about Solo, the Star Wars story, or a Star Wars story. How do y'all feel about Woody Harrelson being in it?
I mean, I like Woody. It depends on who he's playing.
Yeah, I love Woody. I love him. Like, yeah, when Nate casted him, I knew the role. Like, I didn't. They didn't even say. And yeah. I was like, oh, he's
like the mentor.
He's the mentor. Yeah. Like, that's the reason why Han is who he is. And obviously, he'll probably betray him. And
you think so?
I think he will. I think he'll betray him, and he won't redeem himself. And that's why Han comes back in A New Hope. He learned not to do that.
I like that.
See, I think Woody could play a good. Well, we've already got the archetype with Yondu and Michael Rooker's portrayal,
right?
Well, it almost sounds like Woody Harrelson.
That's like someone who could start bad and be.
Yeah.
But it is. It was confirmed that Christian Bale almost took the role.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he just came out and confirmed.
If it was Christian Bale, I would almost think it was supposed to be his father.
Yeah,
but I can't see Woody Harrelson playing Han Solo's father.
He said he almost took the role.
I try to sell him. No.
I'm much happier with Woody Harrelson.
I am too.
Yeah.
That just seems to fit more. Christian Bale. I got no hate for you, Christian Bale.
Oh, good for you.
Right. That's what I think of every time. I like Christian Bale, but I Woody Harrelson makes me like, oh, this will be fun. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
but Christian Bale, I'd be more like, remember that Terminator movie?
yeah.
Look. I love my Terminator, that Terminator movie.
Well, Han is very, you know, we all know his character. Yeah, he's fun and sly and has jokes and whatnot. So, I mean, like, he got that from somebody. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine Christian Bale quipping a joke.
Right.
Yeah, no, he doesn't.
With sort of an accent, sort of.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I don't know. That's interesting. Yeah, Christian Bale.
He said that he hopes there will be talks in the future with Kathleen Kennedy and Frank Marshall. About something Star Wars related, because he was a big fan of the.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is he one of the stormtroopers? No. Who was the stormtrooper in the last?
Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig was the.
And
stormtrooper.
I love it.
Yeah.
That was the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And Kevin Smith
is a stormtrooper.
He was.
No, he was on the radio. What he was when? Oh yeah, he was.
He was
an unseen voice.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. When they were when the. Resistance came flying in when they were fighting wherever
Force Awakens.
When they attacked Maz Kanata, was that her name?
Yeah, Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata.
Maz Kanata.
And then the Resistance came flying in. You hear a stormtrooper say, "We've got something on the metal." Whatever, that was Kevin Smith.
That's cool.
And he went Snoogan. And then.
Really?
No.
Not in that. That didn't happen.
Yeah. Another stormtrooper's like, snooch.
I tell you what, though, you can totally hear that it's Daniel Craig.
Oh, yeah. Well,
now that you know. Yeah.
Oh, my God. It sounds just like him.
And was there any of those things in this one?
I was going to say, because I haven't seen anything. There has to be.
I think. I don't know. James Corden,
Ryan Johnson did suck all the fun out of it. So maybe he took the cameos out too. I don't know.
I think James Corden may be a character.
I was about to say JJ is a lot more fun.
Right. He's a lot more calling your buddies, let him come hang out.
Hey, guys, we're over here. Put on a helmet.
Where's Giacchino? Bring him in.
James Corden is the son of Porkins.
I think he's in. I think I saw that James Corden is one of them.
Yeah, I was trying to rack my brain. I saw that too.
That's the only one. But I didn't read anything about it. I just remember, I felt like I saw the headline, James Corden, surprise guest in the Star Wars film. Mm, yeah. Do you think they'll do, I tweeted this the other day, and you know, we've seen the Marvel live tour. Will the Star Wars live tour happen?
Well, I mean, again, like I said,
why shouldn't
the Cirque show, so why shouldn't they do a live? Disney likes their live stage shows.
I went to the Marvel one with Riker, and he lost his mind, not in a good way.
Oh, really?
In like the first 5 minutes, terrified. He was a little too young.
Oh.
Like it was about almost 2 years ago. So he was like three, but he loves all superheroes. And went there and it opens with like Loki like slamming things exploding, and he was like,
"Oh,
I'm out,
yeah.
I'm done." So we ended up we were in Huntsville. We'd driven an hour and a half.
Oh no,
to go, and I was pumped. And then we literally lasted like Spider-Man swung in. He loved that. It was great. And then Loki disrupted everything, and he was not cool with it. Started weeping.
Oh boy,
he was bad. So thankfully we were in Huntsville. I ended up going to the Space and Rocket Center because we're like, well, we're here. I'm not just going to do nothing. Which was a fun day, but I lost the.
Was that a Feld production?
Was.
They do all the live show. They used to. produced the circus, Ringling right? Brothers, Ringling Brothers, Kenneth Feld.
Yeah.
And the Ice Capades. I think that's where they started,
yeah,
actually.
I think that's right. And then, yeah, they do the Marvel tour. And the Marvel tour is supposed to come back with the Guardians of the Galaxy this year. I think they canceled that. Coming to Nashville. It was supposed to come to Nashville. And I thought, okay, Riker's old enough now. Now we'll really enjoy it. And then it either happened and I completely missed it, or they canceled it. Which I know my children's, like, entertainment that comes to town. I'm on top of this stuff. I did have tickets to Daniel Tiger and missed it. I got tickets to Power Rangers coming up. That's going
to
be awesome.
We took Sean, my son, when he was about Riker's age, maybe a year older, to see Walking with Dinosaurs live.
Yeah, I've heard that's great.
Which was intense. But because of the same reasons you mentioned, we're like, let's find the tickets that are the farthest away
from the floor. The opposite I did for its Marvel.
And it was good. I mean, and it worked out well because he was a little freaked out. But the fact that we were far enough away that, because when that T-Rex comes out, it's huge and it's very light. And the whole place goes silent and it's just kind of pacing the floor. And then it just lets out this bellow and the whole it kind of makes your spine shiver. The only thing that
like when Jimmy Buffett lights a volcano.
Yeah, right. You're all just right. Scared, in a crowded arena, and you're like, this is not the time for
that. Yeah, Jimmy, what are you thinking?
The only thing that was distracting is like the bigger the dinosaurs got, like the T-Rex had like literally a giant steel pole running up into its chest.
Oh, he's impaled.
That ran along the floor because there was no way to support whatever it is, a puppet
it's a big puppet.
Animatronic that big. So that was kind of, and some of them they would try to disguise. They would like put like rock around it. I'm like, so when this dinosaur walks, the rocks just follow? Is that what you're telling me?
There's certain fish that happen to that.
Yeah, sure.
A lionfish.
That was definitely a very cool show.
I've seen all of them, not that one, but I see all the ones that come. I feel like I am an aficionado of like preschool children's shows. Like,
sure.
And I judge them. And Paw Patrol Live, we went to, I think it's coming back to town this week. We went last year and I like, at the end of the show, they had like meet the characters.
Meet them,
so I went, and I like told the guys like, "Buddy, I see a lot of these shows. This one was really good."
Oh my God.
And it was. It was really cool. They had giant puppets that they all like. It was a well done production.
When you met them, didn't you see the puppeteers were they still like standing behind them or whatever?
No, they put the kid who played Ryder, who was like in his 20s, he was like a human being, and then they put did like. Well, he wasn't like in a costume.
Right.
He was just like a dude.
First, we know.
In a
costume.
Jacket.
Then the dogs, though, when you saw them on stage, they were like people in a puppet. Like, I mean, how you explain it? Like, they were almost like, they weren't riding them. They were like inside of them.
It was kind of like the way the Lion King on Broadway did Timon and Pumbaa, right?
Yeah, kind of. And then they could control them, but they spoke.
I think that's the last show.
Somewhat like
I
Avenue
saw
Q.
Was the Lion King.
Lion King,
King thing.
Yeah.
And they, but when they came out at the end, they were just like costume characters.
Oh, so it wasn't even the puppets that you met.
I didn't meet no puppets.
You didn't meet the puppets.
Meet the puppets. When I meet the Power Rangers, it better be them.
Oh, you think it'll be the real Power Rangers?
It better be. I want Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, who all he does is post his bling. He's making that killer convention money, that guy.
That's my dream.
He's the convention king.
I wish I could just get like one part in like some weird kind of almost like a cultish movie, not cultish, that's the wrong word, but like a movie or something, and then just do the convention circuit. My dream is like
be that guy.
You know who I envy?
Virgil from the WWE sitting there alone at the table.
I envy like guys like Armin Shimerman, who played Quark on Deep Space Nine.
Mm-hmm.
Had like the best part in the show, didn't have to work all day, came in, shot his scenes where he was kind of the funny, irreverent jerk, whatever.
Yeah, love Quark.
Show ends, he just does conventions the rest of his life and then just does theater, does whatever he wants, and then when he needs money, he goes and does a convention.
We did a Star Trek convention once that was like the 20th anniversary, right before Riker, of Next Gen. And they had it here in Nashville. Patrick Stewart canceled, of course. So, but it was, you know, Riker, which we were just about to have Riker. It was Troy and Q and LeVar Burton. And a couple other people.
The only person whose name you used was LeVar Burton.
Okay, so
Q is John DeLancey.
John DeLancey. I know their names. Oh, crap.
I'm not sure if I know Troy's name. Riker or Jonathan
Franks? John Franks. Troy's name is...
John.
No, I think Jonathan Franks.
I like that, huh?
Well, that's what I say. Is
Marina Sirtis.
Yes. At a Star Trek convention, they are like killing it.
Yeah.
Like, the lines were good, but like I started like doing the math, and it was like, you guys. And they were out walking around like... This is the greatest weekend of our lives. Now, we saw them a couple years later as a Wizard World Con where people were there for some of the Doctor Who people. And LeVar Burton was just sitting there texting like no one cares. And that was a bit sad. And we met Jonathan Frakes the first time before Riker was born. LeVar Burton got up from the table when he found out a man was pregnant with a child named Riker and like put his hand on her stomach and like blessed the baby. And I was like, this is the greatest moment of my life. And then like... not that they would remember, but I was expecting, like, we brought Then Riker later on.
I hope you read lots of books.
He did. That's pretty much what he did. I hope you fund my Kickstarter, which I did, and then I didn't get what I paid for, whatever. And then,
oh, my God.
No, I did, but they, never mind.
That seems to happen with the Kickstarter thing.
Yeah. Hey, maybe I was in, I did one.
Okay,
I gave my posters away.
I'm a little behind on my Patreon rewards, so sometimes I can't say anything.
Same here. But I've done some things. It's hard, but, you know, it's not as easy as it looks. But they...
you didn't say when, right? You just said you was going to get
I said after a minimum of like 3 months. I didn't say a maximum.
Oh.
So it could be any time, just after 3 months.
Yeah, but for... But then I saw... See, that's the convention. If they did just Star Trek conventions, great. Because I feel like that's, it's like you're being worshipped for 3 days.
That's when you have to do the Star Trek cruise.
Right. But when you're at just a normal Comic-Con for everyone else is when it gets a little... Like Allie and AJ were at the Wizard World one, and you can tell people are like, why are you here? Brian O'Halloran from Clerks. It's like he literally just like standing in front of his booth. Just like,
yeah, that's a guy that is really clinging to that.
Yeah.
One role he had one.
And I kind of thought, like, I should be over there. Like, even Muse was there. And I was like, I should be, like, paying for it. And I just didn't. Like, it's just there was something about it that it almost was more awkward that there was no one there than if there was a line.
Well, that's when I went to Wizard World this past summer for the first time. And the kid from Little Big League that was in American Pie.
Mm-hmm. He was in another Walt Disney movie.
Yeah. He was the main guy in American Pie. Kevin, I think. The one that dated Tara Reid in those movies.
No, yeah.
Thomas Ian Nichols.
Thank you.
First of all, has to set up his own booth, which seems a little sad. No help. And then just like sitting there chilling. No one's talking. It's like, I feel like I should just go. And he's there like with like a Cubs jersey. Because I feel like they're like, well, this is like the Cubs had just won the World – not just, but they'd won the World Series the summer before. So let's bring in the kid from Little Big League. That was the movie, right?
No, he was in Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. That's what it was because he was on the Cubs, right? So he had his Cubs
jersey
there.
He hurt his arm
there,
and became a superstar.
No one cared. I felt so bad
for him. And that's the thing. It's like those are the ones that – you almost got to know your audience. Nowhere to go to show up. Now, Jason David Frank, the Green Ranger, he shows up. He is the king of these conventions because the audience is now, I think, going to the conventions 25, 35. And sadly, like the next generation people have sort of aged out of the convention circuit. Now they're on the cruise because next generation now is 25 years old.
I mean, we've talked about the Beatles and we've talked about Star Trek.
The Beatles.
And we've talked about sports movies. I mean, all things that are in Tyler's wheelhouse.
Have you watched the new Star Trek series, Discovery? I haven't watched a second of it. Did you see it, Bart?
No, I'm not going to pay for
thank you.
That's the problem. Like,
thank you.
They've making it hard for me to watch it.
Especially when that's the only thing on it that's not available on regular TV.
I mean, I should be there, like, to at least give it a shot. And I've watched the Seth MacFarlane one.
Yeah, I like that. I haven't watched it all, but I enjoyed it.
It's a little long, but it's fun.
Yeah, it goes a little. It should be.
I gotta wait. I'm not gonna watch. I can't dedicate the time to watch all of them, but they're funny when I've seen them.
Yeah, they're doing. The director of Get Out is doing the Twilight Zone reboot on.
Oh, CBS All Access.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, what's his name?
Jordan. Not Jordan. Is it Jordan
Michael
Peele?
Yes, that guy.
Kevin Michael Peele. Keenan Michael.
No,
Peele.
Jordan.
Peele.
Jordan.
Jordan Peele.
Yeah, he's
Keegan Michael Key.
He's going to be the Rod Serling.
Star of the Star.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like that.
You know, they tried that a couple years ago
with Leo, right?
No.
Leo bought it. He bought the franchise.
I want to see.
Who?
Leonardo DiCaprio.
No.
Bought what?
He bought the Twilight Zone franchise for a little while there.
Who's the guy from Rogue One that had like.
Then why doesn't Disney buy it from Leo? Like.
Ghost Dog. Why can't I think of his name?
He's Ghost Dog?
Phenomenon.
What?
John Travolta?
No, the other guy. And he was just in Rogue One as the underground terrorist. What the heck is his name? He's one of the best actors. Yes. He's got
lazy. I know.
He talks like this.
He's got a lazy eye.
Yeah.
He's famous.
No.
He's famous for his lazy eye.
No, I can't.
I mean, he's not famous for his lazy eye, but
he talks like Forrest Whitaker.
Forrest Whitaker.
That's his name.
No, I was going to say he talks like this, and then I thought of it as I said it. I didn't mean he talks like Forrest Whitaker. But then I saw
he talks just like Forrest Whitaker.
So weird.
It came to my head that it was Forrest Whitaker as I was saying.
Me and Bart literally looked at each other like, wait.
What was his name in Rogue One? He had a fun name.
Saw Gerrera.
Saw Gerrera.
It's right in front of me. That's what
yes,
I know.
Jen.
Who I believe is a character from one of the cartoons.
He is from the
Rebels.
People were upset because he didn't look the same.
He's in Clone Wars and the Rebels.
But anyway, the point of this was that he,
just Clone Wars.
Probably about 10 or 15 years ago, they tried rebooting I was looking at
the Twilight Zone.
The Tyler Zone.
Oh, you need that shirt.
And, the Twilight
I like it.
He was Rod Serling. He was the Rod Serling.
See, that's what you tell ladies. Hey, you just entered the Twilight Zone.
I think... I think the only way the Twilight Zone is going to work again is if you bring back Rod Serling.
Like they did in the...
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Because that will, like... He's gone, so...
That'd be cool.
Right. And I think that's the only way it's going to work.
Now.
Because I think maybe more like two more decades. Two or three more decades.
30 more,
I'm serious.
I don't know if the crowd will still be there.
We'll never hear
that. No, I mean, and people will be like, oh, my God. Yeah, the crowd, it'll be a different crowd.
Yeah.
But. We'll never hear the end from the guy that does the voiceover for Tower of Terror.
Mark Zuckerberg.
Who appears on like every...
I don't think he listens to this one. He's maybe sent me some messages.
He's made the rounds of like every podcast I've ever listened to. And
I mean, he does a great job.
Yeah, I know, but he recorded that like 20 years ago, didn't he?
Hey, come on now. You're convention man over here. That's pretty much the same thing.
I was just going to say, here's the guy who wants to be that dude.
He's a voice in a theme park pre-show. Not exactly, you know. That's okay. Like writing a book because you were a walk-around character.
Didn't
30
they mix
years ago.
His voice, though, with like two other people and Rod Serling?
That guy doesn't listen to podcasts. What now?
Didn't they mix his voice with Rod Serling and like two other voice actors as well?
I really don't know enough.
Yeah, that would be a cheat.
I think they did.
And so this guy's just living off the...
In Disneyland, in their Tower of Terror, obviously, no longer with us. It did not sound the same. Go on YouTube and watch it. The one in Walt Disney World sounds like Rod Serling.
Yeah, just like him.
I mean, you listen to the one in California, doesn't sound anything like him. It's
weird. That's strange.
I'm a huge Rod Serling fan.
Yeah, I like the Twilight Zone a lot. I used to watch the shows when I was a kid on black and white TV. My sister-in-law, who you met when we were at Jimmy Buffett, I don't know if you met her, she was there. Her dad is in like a couple episodes. So
that's cool.
It's fun to watch his. He's and they look exactly the same, so it's kind of crazy. He was a child actor. I forget, he's in one of the famous ones. I'll have to look it up which one he's in, but I'll look at while you look up. But he's in one of those classic episodes.
Hmm.
He's also in the movie Anti-Mame. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
I've seen
that movie's a fantastic movie. He's the lead in it, but it's great. He's not Anti-Mame.
Really?
He's the son of, he's like the
Your sister-in-law's dad?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not close with the guy.
But I mean,
I've met
him a handful
of times.
That's a famous movie. I mean,
he did that, The Twilight Zone, and now he's a lawyer. And does conventions occasionally for Anti-Mame.
See, that's
probably makes more
like
money.
One iconic role.
If you look him up, he and my sister-in-law
Forrest Tucker?
No, Jan Hanslick.
Oh, there he is right there.
And they helped me. He looks just like his daughter, which is my sister-in-law.
It was dark.
So she looks like him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I knew her before I knew him.
In theory, yes.
But, man, I like – so it's going to
– There he is. It's a young man.
Yeah, and it's her face.
This is a great podcast.
So Jan –
and getting pictures.
So it's coming to CBS Now, though, or whatever, CBS Pay
what
Money
for. What is it called? CBS Go? No,
CBS Prime Now.
All Access? No.
All Access.
Is it really?
It is CBS All Access, yeah. And I don't even have, like, an app for it. You know, I just – I don't know.
Yeah, it's
and the trailers for the Star Trek Discovery were kind of like not fun.
I mean,
and it was like,
and I listened to a few like reviews of it, like Kevin Smith reviewed it with Mark Bernard, and just they didn't even they were like, yeah, we'll give it a few more watches. It's weird. Like, first of all, I guess it like jumps around in time. Like the one, it takes place over two different ships. Like one is Michelle Yeoh's ship, but I think she spoiler alert. I think they said she like dies in the first episode. I haven't seen it, so I'm not.
She's sure. Like Spock's sister or something like that.
Yeah, she's like no, she's not. There's another actress who's I don't know. And then the
like
other ship has
like go forward in time. Why are we reliant on?
That's
well, this generation
said.
Was a giant hit.
Right?
Why are
do
we
have
going
to, that's
forward?
True. Why aren't we going forward? Why? Because then they did the Scott Bakula one, which was pre
back again. Enterprise.
And everybody said that was good.
So
though,
this
right?
it is good. But
is like, this before that or is this between that?
Is this
the oldest crew so far? Like we've just invented warp drive? Like this is just after First Contact? When James Cromwell invented warp drive?
But you had a hit. You had arguably a bigger hit than almost the original series with The Next Generation.
Yeah.
And then you had like a franchise after that. You had Deep Space Nine.
I would say it's not even arguably.
Voyager.
It's a fact. I mean.
Yeah. And then we decided, I think the JJ series helped that too. And that we're like, no, we're only going to TOS this whole thing.
I mean, I don't want to get in trouble here, but let's be honest. The original Star Trek series was not a hit. It was canceled like quickly. It's become a hit.
I'm a fan of The Next Generation, like hardcore. Yeah. I'm not really a fan of the original series.
I can't watch them.
Yeah. There's just something about it. I mean, I get it. I like it, but I'm not a...
I can't
like
watch the original Doctor
value.
Who.
Yeah, it's like, it's similar. It's similar to that. Like, it's so so dated that it's kind of just in its own. And I know people love it, so I don't hate that.
No,
I love William Shatner.
No,
I love
knock anybody
Leonard Nimoy, and I love the movies. I love even the original cast movies. I mean, The Wrath of Khan is a darn near perfect movie. But the original series, I think just I was not in the right time for it.
The weird thing with like Doctor Who is, and you could kind of say this about Star Wars in a way, is that like I grew up watching the Tom Baker years, which I think everybody did, right. Which was like I think late 70s.
That's Scott. Everybody's yeah, early
days. He was like the first Scar guy with the
like
curly hair.
Like who I think of when I originally
of the original Doctor Who. And because my brother would watch it. It was on every Sunday night in Chicago on the PBS station. We'd watch Doctor Who, Monty Python's Flying Circus, and then this Irish comedian named Dave Allen at Large, who was one of my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Google him, you can find him.
I know Dave Allen at Large.
He was missing some fingers. But you, if you watch those old Doctor Who's, like they were shot, like it looks like an old soap opera. It almost looks like it's live, you know, the way. And so the sets look like soap opera sets. And now then you watch the new Doctor Who, and it's so like the graphics are good and the sets look professional. So it's kind of like there's almost like a disconnect, you know. And you could say the same thing. Like I remember somebody saying to me when the prequels came out to Star Wars, like, how come the original Star Wars, everything looks old and kind of, you know, crappy, so to speak. And then you get these prequels which take place before, and the effects are better, the graphics are better, the ships are like smooth and slick.
Before the fall of the Empire.
Well, that's what I heard. I heard someone make an argument. Well, but here's the problem then. I heard the argument made, well, this was the rebellion had to piece together ships out of what was left or whatever. That's why it looks old. But now come with The Last Jedi, we see that they were all buying their ships from the same guy. So how come?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Well, to me, that's a product of not having George controlling everything.
Because well,
me and you may have discussed this. Like, I knew this as a kid. I watched, like, in episode one, everything was, like, just slick chrome.
Right.
And then as, you know, episode two and episode three came out, technology started to progressively get more boxy and everything. Mm-hmm. So it was like the boxiness like was the future.
Right.
It was more...
In the 70s, that's what...
Right. So he transitioned everything into that, which I thought was really cool. And now we're in further into the future, and everything is like a mix. Yeah. Like they go to Canto Bight, and their guns look like they did in Phantom Menace. And I was
yeah, that's true.
Oh.
And why do the AT-ATs have to have like gorilla arms now?
They walk on their... Why? Like, why? Because they want to make a toy.
I mean, that's true.
And do they even do anything? Not
they didn't climb up the mountain. They didn't do anything. Like I was expecting them to do something.
And I guess the bigger...
They didn't even get destroyed, for goodness sake.
Right. But I guess the other question I've always had is, would you really like build AT-ATs if you were like... What we need is a vehicle that has giant legs so it can walk slowly.
Carrying the other train.
Slow. I wouldn't just build something with big giant tank. Like the Jawas had
a
more efficient vehicle.
This was not a question in the
Empire. Okay, fine. Like,
now, I agree. Now, I wanted to see those gorilla-armed...
In fairness, I love Avatar, but I've always been like, why did they even need those big suits other than just to have a fight at the end?
Right.
The suits, I will even let you make an argument for because they could clear trees.
Like
and do
the alien-looking suit?
The big mech suit that the soldiers got in, right?
Yeah.
But, okay, fine. Why did it actually have to have a scale
sword?
Knife, a machete, so he could fight an avatar at the end? It served no purpose.
Well,
you could say to clear trees, I guess, but that would be a stretch because it was actually attached to the gun at first.
Can I tell you that you are correct? Because my nieces, one of them was standing next to the big replica of the mech suit in Pandora, and she goes, "What is that for?" And I literally did not have an answer.
So they could have a cool fight at the end, basically.
I couldn't remember if you paid me $1 million.
How do I tell her what that's for? I was like, you get in it and walk around. That's what I told her.
And by the way, the way it moved would pretty much break your spine the first time you turned to look at something.
That's true.
It would be like that scene in Iron Man 2 where you were watching the clips of them testing out the different suits. And
Hammer tech. Hammer tech.
That test pilot survived.
I miss Hammer. I wish he would come back in the MCU.
He played a bigger part in the comics, I believe. Yeah. He was, you know, he could come back, but anyway.
And everybody said, you know, he had that fake orange tan, and they were like, oh my God, why did they let that actor do that? I was like, no, that was his character.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like he had that.
Oh, yeah. That's that guy.
Yeah, guy. Yeah, I love that Sam Rockwell character. They should bring him back.
Well, if you're listening, MCU people.
I have no idea where we're at anymore because I'm not sitting in my car watching it on my laptop.
Oh, time-wise?
Yeah.
We got a little bit.
I'm not in a hurry.
38 minutes? Come on. We're trying to get out of here.
I don't have to get to work.
I kind of do.
I'm hungry, but I don't know. Oh, yeah, that's true. You do.
I'm here at work. But a happy new year, everyone.
That's right. It's, isn't
yeah,
it?
Happy
Started
new year.
Started strong.
Oh, my God.
Jimmy Buffett. Party time. Then the Georgia Bulldogs won. Going to the national championship game. By the time you're hearing this, I'm either very excited or... Well, no, the game's not till Monday. You'll hear it.
It's not till Monday. They'll hear by now.
Yeah, so we're still in hopeful spirits right now.
And Alabama won.
an Alabama one.
So Randy's very happy.
Yeah, a lot of people are happy. But we're going to have a I'm going down to Atlanta next Monday. So if you're in Atlanta,
my sister's in Atlanta today.
Well, if she stays a week, I'll see her at the national championship. Because I promised.
Sounds like a country song, going down to Atlanta.
I promised myself when I was like a kid that if it ever happened, and the Georgia Bulldogs, who have not gone to the national championship, we don't talk sports, but I'll say, would ever go to the national championship, that I would make the trek. So thankfully, it's only in Atlanta. I can get in the car and drive down there, and I look forward to that. But that was a good.
See, kids, your dreams come true. Logan promised himself.
I promised myself, and like my grandfather, who is now no longer with us, hasn't been for quite many years. You know, it's that's more the connection to sports I have. My sports connections are all like are fairly family tied. Same with wrestling.
What would we do, baby, without us? With the family
ties.
Heck
yeah, man.
Yeah. Man, I start binge watching those ones.
Oh, that's what I was going to say.
Family ties?
No, yeah, Family Guy. I was going to say something about Family Guy.
Family Guys.
I forgot.
It's a mashup.
Did y'all ever see
hey,
that?
Alex.
Did y'all ever see that clip where they recreate The Empire Strikes Back?
Oh yeah, it's a whole show.
They did a whole episode.
No, yeah, but
it?
There was it was just a clip. I don't. You know how they jump?
Yeah. Yeah.
And it, you got to look it up because I'm gonna kill it. But he says, "Don't worry, it's two guys in the trenches," and he's like, "Don't worry, they're not gonna beat us." Unless they have giant camels. And then the guy taps on the shoulder. He goes, "Hey, Bob, giant camels."
Oh, that's great.
Sorry. I lost my train of thought earlier, and then you said family ties. Or you said family
ties. You said family ties. Yeah, Michael J. Fox, Back to the Future, Huey Lewis in
family
the news.
Guys. And, then and it all comes back around.
And
Huey Lewis failed to end his set at the right song. He went
Seven minutes too long.
That's right.
A little bit too much harmonica, but overwhelming was fun.
I didn't even know he played the harmonica.
Oh, well, I did, but I didn't know he played it on every song.
At the end of the show, you knew he played harmonica.
Yeah, I know now.
I finally had to step outside. I was like, I can't take any more harmonica.
Amanda and I, after, were like, I love Huey Lewis. That was such a fun show. We're like, we should throw a Back to the Future party. I wonder how much it is to book Huey Lewis. Then we looked it up. It's $150,000. I was like, okay.
Now, and is that just Huey, or do you get
according
the news?
To, like, if you, yeah, that's with the news. Honestly, you can usually work that out. And I feel bad
I'm
for
wondering.
The
wondering. Yeah.
Because, like, you can book, because we've, like, had some parties where not that kind of level act by any means, but, like, some, like, fan favorites, Amanda and I will throw some parties, and we did, especially when we were not, didn't have children. And you can book, like, you don't want, do you want the Killers for, let's say, $150,000? Or do you just want the lead singer, Brandon from the Killers?
Do you
he'll
want,
charge you $20,000. You know, yeah. Like,
do different. You want Ronnie McDowell? Or do you want the Rhythm Kings?
Right, exactly. It's like, how do you feel about a track? Because
yeah.
We're fine.
And a tape. Yeah, that's yeah. Right. We got a cassette.
But that's an interesting, but yeah, I looked up. So he's still, I'm guessing those casinos pay
well.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. Now, he does have like eight people in his band, so you are paying out a lot.
Yeah.
You're paying out a lot.
And some of those guys, like I was doing the whole night, I was like, okay, that's an original news guy, and that's a filler. I think that lead guitar player was just someone found
since. He sounded great.
He was not old enough to be the original. And he used to have a...
Oh, definitely not, because I thought I knew the guitar player.
I can't remember if it was his guitar player or his bass player.
We could probably get the guitar
player. Was kind of famous for being... He was very tall. He almost kind of looked like Frankenstein and always had like a cigarette hanging out of his mouth and black sunglasses. In every video, like I think there was even one where he came up out of the water on the beach with his cigarette dangling from his mouth. He was not there. So
I'm sorry.
But did y'all ever see –
did you say you're sorry?
Utah, I've been in Nashville for a couple of days. I just said, y'all ever see
– y'all ever,
y'all ever see
– there you go.
Did you ever see – what was that Jeff Bridges' Crazy Heart?
Oh, yeah.
Like where movie. Like he went to play he had a gig at some roadhouse
at the bar
and like yeah. they would just pay him and then hire whoever the local musicians were
to
play
that and happens
I imagine that's kind of what it's like. Well, we'll just get this guy.
It's not uncommon.
It happens once or twice a year.
You know what I just made? I just
it's not fun.
A lot of,
no, I'm sure.
A lot of the Christian musicians, they'll be like, we'll pay you, but our worship band is going to learn all your music, and they'll bring him in to do that too. That's
by the way,
very
if
common.
You just Google the news. You're not going to get Huey Lewis in the news as your first. I don't know why I thought that would work
well,
out.
Well, it's weird because sometimes those kind of things are. And you'll be like, oh, this is how popular this thing was if you just Google the news.
That's what I want to know, like who the members of the – because he had like a very – his name was very like
– Well, Jimmy Buffett then also brought him out to play – was it Volcano? What did he play them?
Fins.
And I was like, okay. And then I forgot he came out to play harmonica.
Yeah, and boy, did he play it. Yes, he did. We were all like, great, more.
Now that song has harmonica, I guess, doesn't it?
Cipollina. That was the guy's name. It was Mario Cipollina.
That's a heck of a name.
He was.
That is a great. I'm taking that for my wrestling.
Did
name.
You make that up?
No,
I am Mario Cipollini.
He was like a very iconic member of the News.
And he's gone.
And he wasn't there.
Is he no longer with us? Or
well, that's what I'm going to look. Well, you look. All I did was type in Mario, and it already remembered who I was talking
when
to.
When I type in Mario, I get a totally different. Yeah. Mario. I get. Yes, it's a me. I'm Mario.
He's still like 63 years old.
He's younger than Huey.
He's got a sibling named John. Yeah, he hasn't been with him since 95.
Oh, wow. So he's been away from the News I'm for see if I 22 can... years. He left the desk.
This is. No, nobody's going to say this. This is what he looked like. So if you ever watch any Huey Lewis in the News videos, he's the most Huey, he was.
He's on that famous cover when they're in the diner.
Yes, yes, he is. That was for sports? Were they in the sports bar?
No. It's
so you got to remember,
he didn't play sports.
What's that?
He did not play sports.
No.
In fact, according to our friends Mark and Crystal there, that he's played it once when they saw him. And he also did not end with the power of love, which was.
No, that's what we were saying.
That was the biggest issue anyone had with him, which was. He left. Oh, there you go. There you go. Flag for copyright. Great. Now, is he
on the right?
Oh yeah. There you go. That's the greatest hits.
Oh yeah.
Now the guy that always wore the short shorts and the polo shirt was there, but wasn't dressed that way anymore. That was the drummer.
Y'all tell me if I'm wrong. When I was a kid, I always thought Huey Lewis was Scott Bakula.
Oh yeah.
There's a little bit of that.
No, I totally, absolutely.
When I was little, like I thought it was the same person.
I just thought he was too darn loud. His harmonica was too dark. Huey, I'm afraid your harmonica is too darn loud. But
sorry, fellas.
Anyway,
I'm sorry.
This is such a good podcast. We're looking at pictures on our phones. Let us describe to you what we're seeing.
No, I was going to tell.
Everyone knows Huey Lewis.
No. So I've got
maybe
some,
not Mario Cipollini.
Louis Lewis, which is my wrestling name.
I've got some friends right now who are currently. I told Logan this. They messaged me and said, "We're doing an adventurer's pub crawl today." They live in Florida. They are going to the Nomad Lounge, which is in Disney's Animal Kingdom, to Rose and Crown in Epcot, to Trader Sam's, and then ending at Jock Lindsey's Hangar Bar, Disney Springs.
I mean, there's going to be a lot of time between drinks in that pub crawl.
Yeah,
right?
You're going
to be sober by the time you hit every
That's
bar.
That's what I told you. Yeah. Rose and Crown's an interesting one to throw in there, too. I don't know if I mean, I like it. But
I like the Rose.
But no, in the adventurer theme, does that fit?
I don't know.
I feel like there's a better option there. We can find something better for them.
But
pub crawl.
I want to show you this. Check this out. It's weird that we were talking about this. Look what he's wearing. Tom Baker.
He's wearing short shorts and
short shorts and a white polo. Yeah.
For those who are listening,
that's my go-to.
One of my buddies is wearing the Tom Baker Doctor Who scarf.
Did he make it? I want him to have made it.
What?
Like made the scarf. I wanted him to knit the scarf.
I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm sure he Etsy'd it.
I have a female friend who made a dress out of the same pattern fabric as Tom Baker's scarf. She
That's
wore
pretty
it
cool.
to meet John Barrowman.
John Delance.
Yeah, John Barrowman.
Not John. Not Q.
Captain Jack.
Different only convention guy.
Yes.
Different Captain Jack.
Probably at some of the same conventions, I'm sure.
Jack
He's
Harkness.
In something coming up, though.
Who?
John Barrowman?
Yeah, that I saw was a pretty big announcement. What show was it?
Well, he has a spinoff show, a Doctor Who spinoff show.
Torchwood.
I've actually watched Torchwood, which is odd.
And did we know that Torchwood is an anagram of Doctor Who?
No.
Yep.
Wow.
What is the name again? John Barrowman?
Yeah.
He's Scottish, but he doesn't sound Scottish.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was American.
No, you can hear him talk in his regular voice. He does an American accent everywhere he goes, interviews everything, but he's actually Scottish.
Yeah, that's
and when
what
he speaks
I've
with
a
Scottish
speak.
Accent, it's really freaks you out.
Even though I've never seen...
Because he used to host G4's Attack of the Show, which I was watched religiously.
That's like David Tennant, if you... You know, watch Doctor Who. He talks British, but he's actually Scottish.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear David Tennant as Scrooge McDuck, like that's
closer
his
real
voice.
Yeah. But if you hear him as Barty Crouch Jr., well.
Right.
You actually very rarely hear him.
It was hard for me because, you know, growing up a Harry Potter nerd, like it was hard for me to watch Doctor Who. And I dreaded him coming because I was like, oh my God, he's Barty Crouch Jr. He's going to be doing the tongue thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I mean.
Alex Kingston, that's my friend in her dress. And she met Alex Kingston, who I know because she was also on one of the hospital shows, either ER or, yeah, I know. There's that too.
What I want. I missed that.
You're a married man.
Sorry for the better part. What I would like is for, you showed me that, that's from Wizard World. They put the big banner behind you. Back in the day, they did horrible, like, and still doing some conventions, like your high school backdrop.
I'm sorry.
In your photos. I don't even want to know. High school backdrops that were like, you know, like the blue, gray, faded. I don't know what you call that. Tell me what I'm talking about.
Don't friend her, Tyler.
You know I'm not.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Except get back on track.
Yes.
Like I'm going to ask you later.
Like the photo day pictures. And then they moved into the wizard world. What I would like, and it's like the convention logo. What I would like, and I think I'd pay more, is like make it look like we're like at brunch together. Like make it look like this is some casual, and like, oh, I'm just hanging out.
Yeah, right.
This person. Instead of being like, clearly I spent 3 seconds with this person.
So forced. Yeah.
Yeah. Just make some like, I want like a weird like personal setting that they can just sit in the whole time. But, you know.
So everybody's having brunch.
Right.
Yeah, right.
John Berman.
That's what I don't understand. Berman celebrities brunch. That don't want. Do you remember, I think it was like last year, the year before they got out that Avril Lavigne was doing fan meet and greets like that. But she literally would stand like
a mile away,
4 feet away. You couldn't get any close. So there were pictures of. Here's the background. Here's the fan over here, and here's Avril Lavigne as far away as you can be, and still be in the shot. Don't do it if you don't. Yeah, if you're that repulsed by your fans, a you don't deserve it.
Well, I think so.
Right. Thank you. I hate to say that.
Yeah,
it's true.
I agree that that's just don't offer it. Don't offer it.
Don't offer. Yeah, I understand you don't want to put your arm around every
security. Can get scary. Like I get that stuff happens.
For a little, she's a young little petite woman. I get it.
Yeah. So there's certain.
Did marry a guy from Nickelback. So
are they back together? I think they may be back together.
I don't know. Yeah, maybe.
Some of us love Nickelback.
I do too. I don't. Yeah, listen. And by the way, what did Nickelback ever do? Did you ever hear that routine?
Nickelback. Oh, Matt Lott, who was next to us, who came to think, he was like, Huey Lewis may be the Nickelback of a generation because it is every song is pretty darn close to the same. Yeah. Okay. Come on now. It's a lot of bump bump dum bum dum. It's a lot of a guitar riff.
It is.
That's a lot of the
mean.
It's a lot of. Hip to be a square in, back in time.
In the day, man.
No, I'm saying that. Huge hits, all kind of in the same tone. I love both of them, okay?
Yeah, but I mean, you can't, like, do a different sounding song every record.
Especially back in the 80s, that's what they were. They're like, dude, whatever you did last time,
I'm
let's
not
just
saying
capture
that
it
the
again.
Negative. Yeah. I like these
songs.
Let's
see, one of my favorite songs,
but
and you actually didn't think you knew it until I reminded you, is the song he did called Jacob's Ladder, was a huge
that
hit.
That one is a different one.
And that's a complete departure. That Bruce Hornsby wrote it.
That
for
is
him.
Like a jam band song.
Yeah. It's a Bruce Hornsby song, who then played for the Dead. So
yeah. Song with the Dead.
And
Ricky Skaggs.
I'm not going to play it on here for copyright, but everyone should download this guy, Shane Torres. He's a comedian. His album's on Apple Music, but he did a whole bit about Guy Fieri. And then he's like, what did Guy Fieri ever do to anybody?
Oh, the guy that stands there like this?
As far as I can tell. And he's like, he's Latino, but he's got a thick southern accent like someone else in the room. And he's like, what did Guy Fieri ever do to anybody besides follow his dreams? It's like, y'all crap on him like he's Nickelback. And by the way, what did Nickelback ever do to anybody?
Yeah,
I see Nickelback and there are protesters.
Really? Just
there was
like
Nickelback? A candlelight vigil.
We're protesting your existence.
They had a Nickelback sucks. Each one of them spelled out a different one.
That's
and they just
terrible.
Sat there. I mean, they were clearly just like hipsters wanting
this
to have fun.
Mean.
But it was.
It's that bandwagon hate, man. It's
God, I enjoyed it.
Mean
I had, I've seen them
hate.
A handful of times, and I've had a blast at every
it's
single
hip
show.
Hip to hate.
It doesn't work.
It's hip to be hateful. But Nickelback used to open the show, and I told Bart they can't do this anymore, where it would be like, I think I may have brought this up before on the show, where you'd just be talking like this, and they'd have the music up playing, lights are on, and then they'd just put off like a pyro. So it would just all of a sudden you're just talking, and then boom! And then it'd be like everyone would scream. Like something horrible would happen, and then the lights would drop, and then they just burn on it.
Man, you can't do this. I mean,
well,
that's
this was 5 years
we
ago.
We joked about it, but literally, like at the Buffett show the other night. I mean, first of all,
I was out
at midnight. So. They drop a ton of balloons over the crowd, which is fine, and people just start popping balloons like crazy. And at one point, I looked at my wife. I'm like, "Do we need to get down?"
Yeah, it was pop, pop, pop.
So just, psh, psh, psh.
Well, I would have been gone. If
yeah, right.
Because I was completely unaware of what was happening
then,
until I saw the look on Logan's face, and I was like, "What?" And I was like, "Oh yeah, well."
And then at the end of Volcano, there's just this loud boom. Yeah. And luckily, I was looking. If you could see the screen behind the stage, a big boom appeared. You know,
yeah,
but
could not.
People behind me couldn't see the screen because we were kind of to the side of the stage looking down, and everyone was kind of looking around like, "What the heck just happened?" And they're like, "It's okay. It's all part of the show."
I do wish they the last time Buffett toured did the same tour, the Volcano I Don't Know tour. He did it here a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And it was hosted by a coconut Jeff Bridges doing the dude.
Yes. I remember.
And
that.
I wish they did that.
Wait, what?
It was a cartoon.
It was an animation.
Oh, a cartoon. Oh, yeah. He'd go like, hey, Jeff, how's it going? And then a coconut, hey, man. Hey, like he would do the whole dude act.
Y'all see a kid
I thought you meant
me.
He got Jeff Bridges to MC
man.
The show.
Well, I mean,
he
virtually.
Did. He voiced this animated character.
Oh.
Yeah, he was the voice. Like, it was definitely Jeff Bridges. And he talked because he played
man.
The song from What movie? What song? Jimmy Buffett did a song for a Jeff Bridges movie.
It was Rancho Deluxe. Yeah. He was actually in the movie.
Right.
Playing in a bar.
He played that song on the
last movie.
So we talked about that.
Well, that's good. Livingston Saturday Night was one of the songs they played in that.
I think that's an
unwatchable movie, but I've tried watching it because Jimmy Buffett's in it.
I don't think I've seen it. And I love Jimmy Buffett. I love Jeff Bridges.
It's about two hippie ranch hands. And there really is no plot,
like,
except that they're just like drunk and stoned through the whole movie. I couldn't tell you what the plot is.
Sounds good.
Yeah, really.
I don't really want to be a ranch hand.
No, you don't.
I watched that the ranch. I'm the only person who watches that on Netflix.
The Ranch?
Yeah. I love The Ranch.
I too. Kind of want to, although now I don't, but because now there's a dark cloud over that show, too.
In season three, they kind of like unwritten wrote season. I don't know.
Oh, did they?
He's not anymore. He's not.
He's in the first half.
Yeah, but it's not out yet, right?
First half's out.
Of season three?
Yeah, it just came out like maybe last week. I watched the first three.
You better get watching, bro.
I thought I only had one episode left. It's right after Sam Elliott has a heart attack. Spoiler alert.
Oh, well. Well, that was season three. We're in season three, right?
But he didn't write it out. No, no, no.
No, they haven't written him out yet.
Yeah. No.
They've released part one of season three.
But have they done Elizabeth's coronation yet? That's what I mean.
We're almost
there. We just started watching The Crown.
So. I can't do it.
I'm way into it.
My parents love it. But I've sat, and I love, like, the Downton. I love the British stuff. And there's something about it that's just, I fall asleep.
See, I love the movie Elizabeth. So I was like, let's watch. And I saw... Okay, back to Doctor Who. I saw Matt Smith and the girl who plays the Queen on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen.
Yeah, it's only two seasons. They're releasing part one.
What part are we in then?
We're in part four. There's two parts in each season.
This is just confusing.
We already had multiple conversations.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know why they did that. Yeah, I just found out.
What I think of was the last season finale was when they were having the baby and they left.
Having a baby?
And then the season now picks up with whatever happened.
Each season is divided into two parts.
And we're
there's
in.
Only four
hey, baby.
Parts.
But they just released
Quit
one.
Quit selling weed. Like, hold that video.
Yeah, it's the last part of the second season.
Okay. It's too confusing, guys.
It is.
Guys,
no,
Let's just clear the... Look, you're The Ranch, okay? Yeah. You're like a 90s sitcom that somehow on Netflix. Can we just make it easy to understand?
Yeah. I love it, though. I hate that, like Bart said, the dark cloud, because his character is crucial to the comedy, in my opinion.
Just wrap it up. I don't even care. Yeah. And, if you don't know what we're talking about, Google it yourself. Well, we've gone an hour, boys. What were you going to say
about
The Crown?
Let's not end on Danny Masterson.
I don't know. Oh, just I've been watching The Crown. Oh, no, I love The Queen, so now it's like this is like the prequel to The Queen.
Yeah, I love The Queen also.
I thought you literally meant you love The Queen.
I love The Queen.
No, he does. No. You going to get the Funkos?
I have some issues with The Queen.
You see the Pop Funkos with the royal royal family?
We just discussed the
I may want that.
Okay, Disney people, all right? Make a Trader Sam pop vinyl.
Like of actual.
But which one?
For the love of God.
Of Trader Sam?
I know.
There are two Trader Sam. I don't think you can make the Disneyland one.
You know what? I'm going to put this out there because.
I'm kind of surprised the Disneyland one has not been replaced. It's pretty racist.
I'm going to put this out here because I don't care and my movie's never going to get made. In my Jungle Cruise movie, Trader Sam is able to shapeshift, and that's why he's different in each Jungle Cruise ride.
I like it.
See?
Well, in the sequel to The Cats of the Castle, which may never be written finished, the villain, I'm saying in air quotes, part of him is a part of Trader Sam. But I was doing it as the Walt Disney World one and then realized, wait a minute, they don't have that one out there. Dang it. So, plus it was very recognizable. And that one, it wouldn't be recognizable anyway, the part that I was using. So
I think you do the one here because he's got the red and white stripes.
Exactly. But if the book takes place at Disneyland, I can't.
Oh,
because
you're saying the Funko.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's slightly less offensive, I think. Maybe, I don't know. But
maybe we could just the Cats the Castle too. Though, I mean, how far are you in it?
Halfway. I haven't touched it in a while. Yeah. I mean, I was writing that horror thing, which I was going to try to get out this year, but I've decided to put off because I want to get Ears of Steel 2 done, and I want to get it out by summer, if not before. And then I'll go back because then I think it would be nice.
We bookended this. This is great. Started with the Ears of Steel, wrapping it up.
Well, the crazy thing is, so yesterday was January 1st, 2018, and out of the blue, for no reason, I got four new five-star reviews on the Cats of the Cat.
I saw that.
Maybe Christmas awesome. Gifts?
Well, I mean, I put one up, and I think sometimes... And that's
you put one of them up?
Kind of why I post... No, I didn't put the review. Oh, no, they'll take it down if you do. You know,
I know.
My wife tried to... God bless her. She tried to put up a five-star review when I first put the book out. Amazon ripped it down because they just figured out we must somehow be related. Apparently, you're not allowed to promote your friends and family anymore.
How? Which is, do they have the time?
It's like, kind of stupid.
Is there a guy who does that? Like, it's like the YouTube reviews thing.
Kind of like the YouTube thing, yeah.
I want that guy's job.
Yeah, what's your job? Is to read reviews like, this seems suspicious.
Meanwhile, a guy puts a dead body on his video and he's fine, but if we do this, we're not going
there. Because I just
there.
Found I out about that.
It's terrible. I know.
You
anyway.
Don't know?
Oh, I do. That's not. I saw a headline.
The point is, so then like all of a sudden, I start getting all these new reviews just popping up on Amazon. So I appreciate it. I love you guys. And of course, I think at least two of them are like, can't wait for book two. I'm like, you might be waiting a while. So I don't know. I might, and you know what? Honestly,
inspiration might strike. You never.
I'm halfway through it, and I wasn't real happy with where it was going. So maybe I need to just rethink the whole.
Do you just start and then just write? Or
yeah, I don't outline.
Okay.
I have a base. I had an idea. In fact, I had the idea for this before I even finished the first one, and I almost thought about trying to shoehorn it in. And I know where it's going to end. I see. The thing is, I know the whole story for the third book. The second,
you have an ending. You're working towards an ending.
Well, like, I know where the second one ends. In fact, I've already written the ending. I wrote the ending first because I know it leads right into three. And then I know how three ends because, I mean, I've said this on my show, three would then take one of the main characters to Florida where I could then – because, you know,
spinoff.
The hardest thing for me is I just don't know Disneyland as well as I know Disney World. I know the history of it, but I don't know it familiar – like – I can tell you from my memory where almost anything at Walt Disney World is. Disneyland, I've only been – it's been a long time since I've actually stepped foot there. So my goal has always been to take it back to Florida because there's just so much material there. You got four parks, one world. But I don't know.
Two water parks.
So anyway, but we'll see what happens. My plan right now –
yeah, with those Kingdom Keepers, they started going crazy.
I'm going to give you this, okay. And it's on the podcast, so that way everybody knows. Okay, I won't.
No,
I'll put it on the podcast.
Yes, no, I will work Ronnie McDowell into one of them.
No.
It's a cat, Ronnie McDowell.
Tell you, Miss Adventure Falls.
What about at the Typhoon Lagoon?
Yeah. You have a character.
Oh, the bird? Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I will, you know. Although I did do the Tiki Room birds.
Cats in a water park be hilarious.
Cats do love water, don't they?
It'd be hilarious.
That's what I'm saying.
Great. Listen to your friend Tyler.
You know, the funny thing is I was riding Splash Mountain, which plays a pivotal role in the book, and I was riding it at Walt Disney World a few weeks ago going, I may have been off on a few details here, but you know what? I always said it's a Disneyland that doesn't actually exist.
Right.
See, that was almost – because I read the first Kingdom Keepers book by Ridley Pearson. I love that first book, but – it almost got to the point where that was too close.
Too much minutia.
Because he'd be like, as I'm on the monorail passing copyright, registered, trademark, Disney's, MGM studio. Like, it would get to the point where you could tell you're reading.
Is,
it was really well done.
At least
I love
me,
that first one.
Yeah, it's okay.
I liked it when I read the first one. No offense to those guys.
Ridley Pearson.
Yeah, Ridley Pearson. Maybe he's got a co-writer, too, doesn't he?
Not on those.
No, no.
He and Dave
like
Barry.
Fantasy stuff.
He and Dave Barry wrote the star, it's Peter it. And the Star Catchers.
Yeah. Okay. I like the first one when I read it.
Yeah.
I like the first one.
I like it. I don't remember it. And then I've since said, well, I better not read anymore because I don't want – I know there's going to be enough comparisons drawn between the – really, the only comparison is it takes place in the theme park at night. That's it.
You've never experienced a weird enough book signing and speech in your life when it was me, Will, and a bunch of children at a Kingdom Keepers thing at the bottom of Green Hills Bowl.
Gosh.
And a guy got mad and stormed off.
Oh, no.
He asked I forgot what question he asked, but he did not like his answer to it. It was just like, how do you picture these characters? Something very benign.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy just like left his book and just like stormed. Like,
wow.
There was like one other adult man. And he was not happy with Mr. Pearson.
Oh, jeez. I saw him. I didn't get to meet him, but he was – one day I was at Hollywood Studios, and he was doing a signing at the Writer's Stop. Rest in peace.
I love the Writer's Stops, yep.
But anyway, so my immediate plan is, I don't know, I'm going to finish Here's Gears of Steel 2, get that out. I'm going to get that – because, see, I was going to try to rush that horror thing because the original challenge was, can I just do this and get it out by Halloween? And just like – I basically would have been putting out a first draft. And now I like the story so much. I'm like, no, this deserves –
it works for Ridley Pearson. I'm sorry.
I'm like, this deserves a little more attention. So I'm gonna see if I can get it out by next Halloween. But I think – I'm like, it deserves a little more attention than just rushing out a first draft.
Oh, from what I've seen, it's good.
But – and then maybe we'll do Cats too. I've got some other things that I'll be working on over the next year or two that that are going to take precedence, obviously. Mm. Well, not obvious to anybody except one person in this room.
Hey, hey. And we already have the ending, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's true.
We're working towards the – all right, well, that will be announced in a few weeks. So.
Yeah. Well, we should probably wrap because we haven't even eaten lunch yet.
You got to get to the airport. But we'll see you in a couple weeks. Yes,
I know. We'll be back sooner than you
– Really?
We. By we, I mean me. We'll be back sooner than you realize. You don't know? Yeah. All right, good. Well, then that's fine.
Talk about
we'll just keep you in the dark. Maybe one day I'll just be here again.
I'm used to
we
that.
We record in the pitch black dark, by the way. Mm-hmm. We're all here together.
It makes it easier to record shirtless. But nobody
you got to do it before I could. Dang it. All right, that's a perfect place. Well, Bart, wrap us up.
All right, folks. Well, we hope you appreciate hearing us all in the same room again.
I like it.
I enjoy it. We should do it more.
I don't. It's horrible.
Maybe one day we'll surprise you with another Facebook broadcast, too. But for now, we hope you enjoy this show. We hope you enjoy hearing our
gold.
Our silky smooth voices together. Hope you enjoy Doctor Who. And
Tom Baker.
I really don't care, actually.
And hey,
most
watch
importantly,
it.
Hope you enjoyed your lunch. Goodbye, gang.
See y'all later.
What's your mind? No Mickey Mouse? Nothing?
No.
It's the wrong season. I'll grocery store. I'll shot.
Would you like to come inside my clubhouse?
Oh.
I hope you pressed up.
I haven't yet. It's still on.
Oh, no.
We've got to mark that one with the E. With explicit. All right.